You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman, fantasy executive. What's going on?
What's the deal? Glad everybody's out here today to celebrate Friday, you know? Going into wild card. What's this one called right here?
This the is division
round.
Weekend.
Going into the division round. So looking forward to that. Should be good times and going to be an excellent weekend of sports. So let's get happy.
Let's get happy indeed. The best weekend of sports is now upon us. The best weekend of the NFL season is upon us. What's going on, Matty?
I'm going to echo fantasy execs' sentiments. I'm happy. I'm looking forward to this weekend. Tomorrow afternoon, we'll be having some festivities over at the GST.
A little celebration?
NFFC Hall of Famer Chris Vaccaro's establishment. So football, food, some alcohol. That's the perfect formula.
What's better than that? What's better than that? For me, I don't know. We'll see what I have going on tomorrow. We'll see what we can make work. Got some games to watch, of course, both tomorrow and Sunday. It should be fun. It should be a fun time, no matter what you're doing or where that you are doing it. Make sure you're watching, of course, the playoffs, because it's exciting stuff, man. It's exciting.
It is. What's interesting is the Falcons and Eagles game. Most of the heavy betting is on that game, and 74% of the money has come in on the Falcons.
I want to know where the sharp money comes in, Matt. This is going to come in tomorrow afternoon. It's a good way to kick it off Saturday afternoon. Eagles-Falcons, I think. I know, Corey, you think it's going to be a blowout, but last Saturday afternoon you thought it was going to be a blowout. Was not.
It was headed in that direction.
Then Andy Reid happened.
I don't think Kyle Shanahan is in San Francisco now, so he can't mess the Falcons up this year. But no, I think Philadelphia puts up a fight, but I don't think at any point Atlanta is going to be threatened of the thought of losing this game. That's the way I look at it. That's the way I've been going with it the entire season. So especially after the young man, the quarterback, got hurt. I mean, you lose who possibly could have been the league's MVP. Obviously, it's going to be tough to rebound from that one, especially when you go down to Nick Foles.
Yeah, absolutely. But hey, they're going to let Nick be Nick.
Yeah, you know, Nick.
It's not a good.
Nick Foles isn't the hero that the Eagle fans want, but maybe
he's
the one
the
they
hero
deserve.
They deserve.
There you go.
There you go. There you go. It was well said, my friend. Absolutely. It's going to be really fun to watch. We're going to preview all four divisional games as much as we can today. We also have some NBA news to get to. And I have a couple of baseball notes that, like I said, I am starting my research. I'm going to random players. I always find a player that I randomly fall in love with. I might have found one yesterday where I was just doing a little bit of research. I was like, whoa, this dude had 25 home runs and 25 steals, and why aren't more people talking about him? The splits
is that Tommy Pham?
It's Tommy Pham. You knew that really quickly without even looking at the rundown for sure. I was like, whoa, Tommy Pham. I look at the splits like, wow, he's pretty good split-wise, both first half, second half, month by month, lefty, righty, it's all good. So I'm going to have Matt try to tell me what's wrong with Tommy Pham at some point over the next 3 hours. Very excited for that. It's going to be a really fun show, so stick around. Roto Experts just kicking it off here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
here with you, Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Corey Parson, Matt Modica, Greg Sussman, hanging out with you here, getting ready for the divisional weekend. And I wanted to begin today's show talking about, well, we talked about the other day how the Warriors got their butts kicked. Now, the Cleveland Cavaliers got smacked last
night.
We
are the North.
We the North. I think it's just we the North, man. I think you said it the white way, but it's cool.
Marty from Canada will correct me later.
There you go. We the North. Toronto smacks Cleveland 133-99 last night. And Cleveland slumping. He had 26 from LeBron, but only 3 rebounds, just 1 assist. Played 32 minutes in this one. The reason you don't play Isaiah Thomas, Matt Modica, in Daily Fantasy, 25 minutes. 2 of 15 from the field, 4 points. A brutal night for IT2. Brutal night for all the Cavs. Who, as I said, I mean, they get smacked. They lose to Toronto by over 30 points. A Toronto team that did not have Kyle Lowry in the lineup, and this one was never close, Corey.
No, they probably was hanging out the night before.
I think probably so.
They probably was hanging out the night before. Whenever you see a performance like this, especially them going up there, I don't know if they were in town the night before, but it looks like that team just came out stagnant and tired. They had a long night the night before. I think this is something that you can look past. Now, listen, everybody will make, you know, all of these, oh, Cleveland is done, Cleveland is this, Cleveland is that, and then in June they'll be playing in the NBA Finals.
We get this point every
January
12th.
Yeah. But as far as last night go, that was a good ass cutting that they got last night, and it was good to see LeBron James and Ty Lue on the sideline. LeBron James obviously tearing into his team.
Sure.
To all of them, including the head coach.
Oh, yeah,
what I enjoyed last night, I saw on Twitter, I saw our own Gabe Morenci at Sports Rage saying, this is a different Raptors team. We can get to the finals. I got a direct message from Marty from Canada. You better all talk about Raptors tomorrow. DeMar is an assassin.
You know what? I gotta tell you that these things happen every year. These drubbings of Cleveland happen every year. It's almost like the Patriots lose at some point in the middle of the year, and you're just like, oh no, they're done. That's how I feel about Cleveland. Like, all right, you know what? It's January 12th. As Corey has said, LeBron's due for his vacation coming up soon. Usually at some point next month, he goes on his 2-week vacation or so. And then they're back in June. And it's like, I don't think there's any shot that Toronto... Oh, someone's phone's ringing. There's no shot that Toronto's going to be able to beat them in 4 games come June.
Here's a comp that I'll give. If we just look at football this weekend compared to this, in week 5, Jacksonville just obliterated the Steelers and, you know, what, 5 interceptions and all that. Pittsburgh Steelers are a 7.5-point favorite.
Yep.
So, you know, come June, if it's Cleveland versus Toronto, who would you be putting your hard-earned money on?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same reason that I have a lot of confidence in the Patriots to get to the Super Bowl. The same reason I'm always going to ultimately take LeBron. Like, maybe not against Steph Curry, but, like, through the East, I'm always going to take LeBron until he falls. He's been to, what, 7 straight finals?
Yeah, they got to figure out a way to get the guy out the finals first before we start, like, saying somebody else is going to be able to go in there and derail this team. Like you said, it's January 12th. These are the kind of things that happen. It'll be a little hysteria about this. You'll hear it. It'll be a topic today on the mainstream sport network programs, how LeBron is dead, the Cavs are done. But this right here is nothing to worry about. But now, honestly, speaking though, the Toronto Raptors have had a good season. They're off to a good start. They're playing well. Are they going to be able to put all the pieces together at the end and win the Eastern Conference? No.
Yeah, and the thing is, forget Cleveland for a second. Are they better than the Boston Celtics? I mean, I think there's not even Cleveland. You got to get through Boston as well, unless they can somehow make, you know, add something, which I don't know if that's possible. I don't think they're the even second best team in the conference.
Yeah, no, I don't think they are. Also, you asked yesterday, I think, Matt, that, like, is Toronto still what they were? Are they still the class of the NBA's Eastern Conference? And I said, they're never going to get anywhere, and I still feel the same way, despite the 30-plus point victory that they had over the league's best team.
I think it's good for basketball. I think it's good for the NBA. Look, LeBron is going to be LeBron. I'm not worried about the guy. So, you know, it creates more excitement. Look, we're in the middle of the season, and we can say with, you know, baseball, basketball, hockey, they're all too long if we want to make that argument. If you're a fan of the sport, you don't think so. So, you know, right now it's just about going through the ebbs and flows of a season.
Absolutely, and that's what happens. The box score from yesterday, as I said, Isaiah Thomas had 4 points. LeBron just at 26. Kevin Love, 10, 9, you know, 10-9. Jameson Crowder had 11 off the bench. You had Jeff Green throw up 13. It was a nothing. It was just a nothing performance all around from Cleveland.
Yeah, and one of the things with, like, playing DFS with NBA, like, Isaiah Thomas was ruled out. Then he was back in at the last minute.
Right.
And it's like, so, like you said, just stay away from him anyway. But maybe you wanted to do a contrarian. If everybody thought he was out and comes in and had a good game, that would have been...
Toronto rode their big man to victory as Jonas Valanciunas had 15 points and 18 rebounds here. CJ Miles had 16 and 5. DeMar DeRozan only had 13 and 8, played 29 minutes. Didn't have to do all that much in this one to pick up the victory for Toronto off the bench. As I said, Kyle Lowry didn't start. Delon Wright did. He didn't really do much. It was Fred VanVleet getting it done for Toronto. 22 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists for him, and a double-double for Jakob Poeltl. 12 points and 12 rebounds. Pascal Siakam also has 16 and 8. As I said, it was the big guys for the most part back getting it done.
You know, yeah. And it's good when you have a victory like that where you can... It's not like a night off, but you can rest guys throughout. And it through the bump and grind of it, it does help, I think, at least.
All right, so there you go. That's Cleveland and Toronto. The other game, big game last night was the big baller brand defeating San Antonio 93-81. They called off the dogs around the fourth quarter. It was a fantastic, complete all-around game from Lonzo, who had 18-10-6. He also had 4 steals, 7-11 from the field, played 36 minutes. Lonzo was really good last night.
Yeah, Lonzo's been really good this season. People are saying that he's been terrible and, you know, talking about, you know, the shooting percentage and stuff like that. But Lonzo Ball has been playing very well. He's getting it done. It's not always about the points. He's putting up steals. He's putting up assists. He's putting up rebounds. If I'm not mistaken, he leads the Lakers in assists and rebounds. Lonzo Ball is having a very good season, just not putting up those points. So, especially in the tough spot he is. So, shout out to him for getting it done. Lonzo Ball.
Big baller brand.
Yeah, the big baller brand indeed. People, you know, he got off to a rough start. People just kind of just jumped on that and harped on that. But as Frank Stanfield said on many occasions, he's a lot better. He's gotten a lot better throughout the
year. He can play.
Shout out to Frank Stanfield. Him and the King the other night were at the Garden. They got some really nice interviews.
Yeah.
I love how the King positioned himself down low, boxing people out.
It's great.
Getting right in there with that microphone.
Scott doesn't care. It's fantastic. 26 points from Brandon Ingram. We talked about him the other day, Corey. 11-21 from the field, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. It's like an empty 26 points in those 37 minutes. What do you think of Brandon Ingram as a fantasy player?
As a fantasy player, I mean, you're going to get these occasional points. He's going to be inconsistent. You'll have the games like you had last night, and then you'll have some games where he's just kind of going to disappear. So, wouldn't be one of my. I don't have any season long fantasy basketball leagues. Wouldn't be one of my favorite options.
Yeah, I just don't see a reason for Brandon Ingram. It's like, okay, he's just so rarely going to do enough in the other categories to do much, and even when he does do a lot in those other categories, he doesn't score enough. He's a weird dude. I don't. He's fine. He's never someone I'm going to be targeting, I think,
in fantasy or
in DFS.
No, exactly. He's not a guy that you want to target. He doesn't fill a stat sheet enough for me.
Yeah. So Julius Randle was brutal last night. In 18 minutes, he did not score. He had 6 rebounds. It was Larry Nance and, of course, Kyle Kuzma
off the bench.
Larry Nance Jr., 14 points.
Not his pops.
10 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. So Kyle Kuzma had 10 and 6 off the bench for the Lakers. Jordan Clarkson, I think, is droppable in season leagues. Just played 14 minutes. They're trying to go younger. And at that point, Jordan Clarkson is just not going to play enough time. He only saw 5 points in this victory in 14 minutes of time.
Yeah, every time I hear Larry Nance, I think of his pops and Mark Price and those awesome Cavalier jerseys back in the day.
And them little shorts.
Well, Marcus Aldridge, he had 20 points for the Spurs, who were very, very short-handed tonight. No Tony Parker, no Kawhi Leonard, no Danny Green. Bryn Forbes had 18 points, while DeJounte Murray, 14-11, Pau Gasol at the start and had 9-12. My man Davis Bertans, who I recommended to everybody yesterday on the program.
Nice.
2.2 rebounds.
Yep. Unfortunately.
Yes, that wasn't
didn't work out.
It did not work out.
No, you can't hit it every day.
You know exactly. You had good calls in the past, though.
Yeah, wasn't good enough, unfortunately. The Clip defeated the Kings. Back-to-back wins for the Clippers. Back-to-back nights.
Clip joint.
121-115. Blake Griffin and Milos Teodosic both returned last night. Blake was awesome. 18-12-6.
What's unfortunate about Blake is I think he would be fantastic as, like, not the star player, as like that secondary option, like, you know, you have that star. It's not going to happen because of contract, and, you know, I don't blame him for taking, you know. The Clippers were in a tough spot. They had to give it to him. What were they going to do? But I don't see it with the Clips.
Sweet Lou at 30-6. I hope that dude's an all-star, as you suggested yesterday.
He should be.
That's what, 80 points back?
Williams been in the league since 2005.
Oh, yeah, long time.
Yeah, he's been in the league a long time. Mm-hmm. He's getting it done.
Absolutely.
Remember a couple years ago when he was rocking the two girlfriends?
I thought he still had...
Is he still doing that?
I thought it was three girlfriends, actually.
Oh, he added another one?
I thought it was. Don't quote me, but you could look that
up. I'm looking at his Instagram.
That is living the dream, right?
It was.
I don't know if you can say that.
I think
it's disgusting.
DeAndre Jordan did not play the second half in this one. He finished with 8-7. Montrezl Harrell, though, he came off the bench, played for DeAndre Jordan in that second half. He was amazing. 25-6, just missed one shot on the night. We got more basketball coming your way later on in the show. But when we come back, we turn on the cameras and we talk Lev Bell. I'll get these guys' thoughts and his comments from yesterday. It's the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
All right, we're back here live in Studio 34. The cameras are on. Welcome to the Roto Experts. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, of course, Wall Street, Matt Modica. I'm Greg Sussman. So the playoffs are this weekend, including Pittsburgh and Jacksonville, a Sunday affair that I think a lot of people are looking forward to. So why no better time than Le'Veon Bell to call out his contract for next year? I get it. I never, ever get upset with players wanting their money because, you know what? A lot through their bodies. They want, you know, they want to get paid for it. I get it. And Le'Veon Bell played through the franchise tag this year and stayed healthy, stayed out of trouble. He wants to get paid. But Corey, why now? Why threaten to hold out or retire now?
Was he asked about it?
I assume he was.
Yeah, he was asked about it. He answered the question. If I get franchise tagged again, I'm going to retire. I'll hold out. The NFL is a business, right?
Definitely.
I could see if it was a quarterback where you can't touch the quarterback in the NFL. Sure, franchise tag me every year. Pay me the top
$25 million
every year. I'm cool with that. But a running back? Nah, that's not cool for a running back. You franchise tagging a running back who's already had his knee torn up once. He plays in the AFC North with that animal, Vontaze Burfict. You franchise tag a running back again for a second time, that's not a good look because he tears that knee up. You think they're going to come back and give him a long-term contract?
Probably not. No.
Probably not.
I mean, here's the thing. Ben mentioned in the last offseason that he was contemplating retirement. This is just, you know, he's throwing it out that this team is not going to be distracted. If they lose on Sunday, it wasn't because Le'Veon Bell came out and said, if I'm franchised, I'm retiring. That's going to have no effect. And look, the guy's trying to posture himself for the offseason. It was, I'm sure, like Chris said, he was asked the question, he responded. And if I was playing in the NFL, I want to get as much money as possible. And, you know, it's only the guaranteed money. That's really all that matters there. Yep. And like Corey said, I mean, how much can your body even take? He deserves it. I know some people have different views on running backs, that they're replaceable and all that kind of thing. But to me, Lev Bell is, you know, probably the best
player.
The problem
with this dude is he's a running back and a wide receiver. He's two players combined in one. But he also got the marijuana thing. That's lingering over his head because he taking another suspension or he missed an entire season. He brought that risk on himself. The Pittsburgh Steelers didn't do that to him.
How about
he
this?
Brought that risk
How
on himself.
It's all about your contract negotiations. There are ways you can do it where if he really wanted to, he could say maybe like the contract is voidable if he gets popped for marijuana again.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like we saw on social media the other day about contracts with, you know, certain actors and stuff. One had in the contract that they had to go do something. The other one didn't. That's why that person received a boatload of money for it. I'm just trying to put what's real.
So this is what they're going to do. So you got, if I'm Lev, you got to look at that situation. You got the drug history with you. That's a thing. Don't tell me right now that you're not using this stuff right here. But you got to take that into consideration. Now, playing on 1 year deals as a running back is a dangerous thing because you can get hurt, tip your knee at any moment, and you can lose everything. So the Pittsburgh Steelers should give him a comparable long-term deal because of what he's done for them, the player he has been. But this is still the AFC North. This is still the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not a franchise that spends money. So it's going to be interesting to see how this situation plays out. But if I'm Lev Bell, yes, I do want a long-term contract so I can protect myself. I'm not a quarterback. I'm not a place kicker. I'm a guy that's in the trenches getting hit by some of the nastiest, dirtiest plays in the NFL. Pay me appropriately.
Get it. Get all of that. But shouldn't he have just said, I'm worried about Jacksonville. We pull the Belichick.
What he said is going to have no bearing on Sunday's outcome. And it's just posturing. It's just sending a message to his bosses that, you know, I want to get paid. Otherwise, you know, move on from me.
I get it. And I get that now, right? Like, I get that that's the thing right now. It's posturing. You're playing. You're negotiating through the media. I understand all that. It just doesn't seem like you should be doing it now.
You know why he said it now?
Yeah.
Because right now it's all heightened. Right now he's in the playoffs. There's a certain amount of teams left. And the Steelers are going to be on a big stage on Sunday. It's only two games. And he's going to be in one of them. So he's taking the opportunity to use it in the best form possible for him. And I can't knock a person for doing that.
Yeah, you're right. Like I said, I don't want to ever knock a person for, especially a football player, a running back in particular, as you pointed out, Corey, to try and get paid, to try to get the most amount of money. But I didn't want to see it seemed off.
If this was like the night before the Super Bowl where he came out and was like,
one thing.
Yeah. Well, Devontae Freeman did that last year.
Look at some other players that have been arrested the night before the Super Bowl, you know, done some insanely stupid things.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, to me, this was a nothing burger.
Yeah, he's got a situation with Lev Bell. You know, you got to respect the hustle. You know what I'm saying? You got to respect the hustle, Pittsburgh Steelers. This dude is running for 1,300 yards, catching 70, 80 passes for you season after season, getting it done. The best running back in the NFL, pound for pound. You know, if you want to put him out there, what he does with passing and catching, go ahead, lock him up, give him a long term deal, give him some safety and that's me and you. Give him some safety and security, and then you don't have to worry about these things coming up in the future. If they put a franchise tag on him, that's an ugly thing to do to a running back.
This is his time to get paid.
Yep.
This is it. This is the time now. He's a running back.
Played the whole season.
Once you
no
get near
marijuana
that
30
year old age, you know, you're not going to get that contract again. So this is like this is something.
I think the Steelers take care of him.
The quote from Le'Veon Bell: "Just get the numbers straight, exactly where we want them. I'm not going to settle for anything. I know what I do and what I bring to the table. I'm not going out here getting the ball 400 times if I'm not getting what I feel I'm valued at."
It's true. You got to take it. It is what it is. That's the bottom line of the situation. You're not going to pay me $25 million and then week one come, I tear my knee up, and I don't have no other. That's my last $25 million.
Look, I mean,
it's a lot of money. But yeah,
it's a lot of money.
Feel what you're saying,
Pittsburgh operates, you know, in their own way. But when you look at the other teams in the division, when you have, you know, as we call them, the mom and pop, the dollar store
Bengals,
you know, the Browns are another thing. So this is a team that I think knows they have to take care of this guy. They know him and Antonio Brown alone right there give them an advantage. And if Ben comes back, he comes back. If not, they're going to have to make that move, which I'm sure to one of the better run franchise, you know, from everything they've been able to do. They've only had, what, three coaches. They're the reason we have the Rooney Rule. And so I'm confident that
six-time Super Bowl champions. I mean, they get it. They know what they're doing. They do it the right way. But the thing about it is that you struggle with is a player like Le'Veon Bell needs to be paid. They did what they do with Jerome Bettis. They paid him, right?
They did pay Jerome Bettis. It was a long time ago.
It wasn't. It's different now.
A long time ago. Now, running backs aren't almost as valued as they were back then. But you got to remember, Le'Veon Bell is very different. So the problem with Le'Veon Bell is that he wants to be paid both as a number one running back and a number one wide receiver. That's what he is.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. You always start at the top.
Obviously.
You're going to negotiate. You don't say them what you want.
Corey, I believe they call that the art of the deal.
Yeah, the art of the deal.
Yes.
If you wanted $100,000 and you say you start there, you're going to get less than that.
Of course.
You're going to say, I want $125,000 and try and finagle in somewhere in the middle.
Yes, of course. And again, we had seen this play out in the media just last year. Devontae Freeman, the week leading up to the Super Bowl last year, was like, I'm getting paid next year.
And he got paid.
He 100% got paid. And that's a team that had another running back. Pittsburgh doesn't have the running back. Now, I don't know that the Roonies will play Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Doesn't he need to get paid this year, too?
I think Antonio Brown is good. Antonio Brown got paid a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think he signed, he got paid well, but it was more...
I remember
that deal at the time, it was more team.
Oh, so it was this year. He just got paid this last year because I remember he was threatening to hold out too. He got paid a 4-year, $68 million extension that made him the highest paid receiver in the NFL. I have a feeling Le'Veon Bell wants to make similar.
Yeah, it is.
That's what it is.
He wants the same kind of deal.
It was the same kind of deal as Antonio Brown.
If you are the best at what you do, don't you want to be compensated for it?
I get it. I understand. Listen, I understand it from Le'Veon Bell's perspective. As I said, my only question was, did it have to be now? That's all.
It's better time than just as good a time than ever.
Yeah.
No, how many teams playing? Four teams playing?
Eight teams playing?
Yeah. Yeah. Now is perfect time.
You want that sentiment just echo, just a reminder to your bosses, like, hey, Ben might be retiring. You want to keep this thing rolling? Best chance you have. Look, if Ben retires, best chance they have is with Le'Veon Bell staying in that role, and you got AB on the outside. That's just the dynamic duo.
Well, I do want to note just a couple of things here before we hit the break. That is this. I said this yesterday off the air. A couple of Blake Bortles facts for you. Wasn't sure you saw this. Remember I told you the Blake Bortles LeBron thing from I guess that was yesterday, 2 years ago? Blake Bortles has thrown 90 touchdown passes. LeBron's never thrown one.
No, LeBron James has not thrown a touchdown pass. That is a fact.
Blake Bortles has never lost in the NBA Finals. LeBron has 5 losses.
Ooh, look at that.
It's a fact.
Blake Bortles, beast.
Blake Bortles has 1 playoff win against the Bills. You know who has 0 playoff wins against the Bills?
LeBron James.
Blake Bortles has 1 AFC South title. You know who has 0 AFC South titles?
LeBron James.
There
Blake
you go.
Bortles is getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
These are all facts, people.
They're all facts.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd like to see LeBron James on the center versus Blake Bortles.
So I will say this. Blake Bortles leads the all-time series against Big Ben 2-1. Big Ben got the better of Blake in week 5 of the 2014 season. Of course, this past season, Blake won. And then way back in the 2015 preseason, Blake beat Big Ben.
Wow, we're going preseason.
How about that, huh? That was pretty good.
Digging deep.
I'm just saying. Oh, this I can't say. This one's a bad one. I don't want to say that one out loud.
I think we can say anything now.
No. I'm going to keep that one. I'm going to keep that one for the break.
We'll talk about it in the break.
Yeah, we will. And of course, there's the last one. Chris Sims called Blake Bortles out, and Blake Bortles said he didn't need 8 seasons to throw 12 touchdown passes. The Blake Bortles fact for you. Take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to the king, Scott Angle. We do that next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
If you're thinking of giving DFS a try. Remember, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller fields, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. They get NBA and NHL free rolls each and every week. Sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. And with that, it's time once again to bring in the host of Fantasy Sports Today, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. each and every weekday, Monday through Friday, and the host of the Fantasy News Desk at 3 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. It's my good friend, it's the king, Scott Angle. What's going on, Scotty?
Good morning, buddy. Make sure you go on the FNTSY YouTube channel and check out with myself and Frank Stanfill, our latest Roto Experts on the Court with the Chicago Bulls.
Yes, you will. It was you and Frankie. I got on the court with the Bulls, interviewed a whole bunch of players. I watched some of that back yesterday. It was really good stuff.
Thanks. I appreciate it. You know, fellow got a lot of good insights. And I always say coaches make some of the best interviews. The associate head coach Jim Boylan had some really interesting things to say. You can hear the full interviews on demand on iTunes, Audio Boom, etc.
All right. Absolutely. So you head over to sportsgrid.com right now. So you've been talking a lot about on Fantasy Sports Today, it's of course esports, and there's been a lot of esports going on. And David Gano's gave you a bit of a beginner's guide to esports. It's available now at Sports Grid.
Yeah, actually, it's a comparison between fantasy sports, some parallels, and esports. And you know, reading David's piece gave me good perspective over Sports Grid. Because the way that esports is exploding kind of reminds me of fantasy sports in the 90s. And as you know, I've been doing this a long time now, 20-plus years in the industry. And I remember when fantasy was booming. I think esports is booming in the same sort of way. But worldwide, it's actually, like, huge. There are over 220 million people playing. Following, not playing. And there's a lot of people watching in the U.S. They're selling out arenas, et cetera. And I remember when fantasy sports, like, you know, the average person would say, oh, yeah, what's that? That's nonsense. Only geeks play it. And there's some people in the mainstream who kind of turn their nose up at esports like the way that people used to do fantasy. But I think the momentum is coming so fast and furious, and a lot of smart business people are seeing it, that eventually it's just going to become as much mainstream as fantasy.
Yeah, it's possible. It's obviously extremely, extremely popular. We're getting more popular. You've named all the owners that have invested in this game. That they believe it, right? We've had, you know, close to a million people watching this thing. They believe in it, and it's kind of reaching that pinnacle where fantasy is at.
Yeah, it's not something that I grew up with, and it's not something that even you grew up with, and you're younger than me. But, you know, when you talk to people like Frank Stanfill, Mike Florio, you know, guys like that, you know, they understand. It's a different generation. But like David says in his piece on sportsgrid.com, fantasy and esports go back to two things we loved doing as kids. You know, fortunately, we're in this industry, you and me, Greg, because we've always loved sports and we play fantasy growing up. And, you know, we also played video games growing up. There was a lot of people that maybe have outgrown video games, but there are still a lot of serious gamers. You know, they write here on our network, like guys like Chris Ventra. These people, like, still follow gaming. It's very, very popular. You know, I think we all have something we like to do. You love professional wrestling. It's obviously hugely popular. It's a big hobby for a lot of people to watch that. And I think esports is the next big one. And for a lot of people who are younger than us, it's already here.
Yeah, you're not wrong, Scotty. You're not wrong. We're talking to the king, Scott Angle, host of Fantasy Sports Today here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And Scott, I wanted to get your thoughts because I know it was important to you. You spoke a little bit about it yesterday on your show. We talked about it off the air a bit, but I wanted to give you a chance on Roto Experts to go into it. The two newest FSWA Hall of Fame inductees, Brad Evans and Stefania Bell. I know you have relationships with both of them, so I wanted to get your thoughts on them being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and you can listen to both my interviews with them on the Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour on demand episodes with both Brad and Stefania as the seventh class of the FSWA Hall of Fame was announced this week. And very, very happy for Stefania. You know, I considered her a friend. And, you know, sometimes in this industry, I see people like yourself, Greg, who I think have a lot of potential. And I remember Stefania when she was just working for DraftKit.com. And I really saw something in her, and I recommended her to CBS Sportsline at the time. They weren't interested. And, you know, she went on to work for RotoWire and some other people. And I remember being at ESPN and saying, Pierre Bouquet, who was the editor at the time, has said, we should really get Stefania Bell. They never listened to me about her. It's over at CBS. He goes, we're already talking to her, Scott. So, you know, Matt Berry and his crew had known that Stefania was going to change the game in terms of how injuries were analyzed, because she was the first credible person who actually had a background in injuries. You know, we see it now with Dr. A. But, you know, we all talked about injuries, but these are people, like you say, with Dr. A, who have actually, like the skeleton commercial says, and it's funny, but it's true, but have actually, like, seen these similar type of injuries and know what they're talking about. So they give us a lot more perspective on what the injuries exactly are. Nobody can 100% accurately predict injuries, but they give us a lot better beat on it. So I'm really happy for Stefania. As far as Brad goes, very happy for him. Nobody in the industry has won more FSWA awards than Brad, and he's a great multi-platform guy who people in the industry should try to emulate if they want to get in, because not only is he a fine writer, but he's a great personality on radio and television.
There you go. Scott Engel, waxing poetic on Brad Evans and Stefania Bell, two people that he had on his Hall of Fame Hour, which is, as he mentioned, you can listen on demand anytime you want here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You can listen to it on SoundCloud, Audio Boom, wherever you listen to these podcasts. Scotty's Hall of Fame Hours are there with both Stefania and of course, Brad Evans. Scott, I wanted to get some predictions for you over the next couple of minutes for this weekend's game. Let's start with Philly and Atlanta. The Eagles want to let Nick be Nick. Can Philly pull the upset against Atlanta?
I think they win this game because I just think they're the better team in spite of Nick Foles.
Okay.
And they're going to lose in the NFC Championship.
So you predict Philadelphia?
I don't think Atlanta's anywhere near as good as last year, even though last week's victory was kind of impressive.
Right. You know, it's interesting because you're all about the quarterback usually when it comes to the playoffs. You've harped on that week after week, and now you're really picking a Nick Foles-led team to beat Matt Ryan.
I don't think Matt Ryan is all that good this year. It was really the defense that won the game for them last week. And it could happen this week. This is probably the prediction I feel the uneasiest about and I can end up being wrong about.
Okay. But you're locking in the Eagles as your prediction.
Yes.
All right, fair enough. Later Saturday night, you get the Pats and the Titans. Same question. Can the Titans pull the monumental upset and beat the Patriots?
No, not happening.
All right, so
it's not happening. No, okay. This is the easiest one to predict, and the other game is the toughest one to predict.
Okay, so you're taking the Patriots. All right, fair enough.
Yes.
On the next day, Sunday.
By the way, I'm sorry, though, but if you're playing daily or if you're in like a one and done, this is the best week to use Tom Brady with that matchup.
Interesting. Yeah. This is the best week to use Tom Brady. I mean, I guess that makes sense. You don't want to save him in the secondary Super Bowl?
No, what I'm saying is this is his most vulnerable secondary that he's faced. He's going to go to the Super Bowl, but I think he puts up his best numbers of the postseason this week.
But one and done, I know I'm in a pool. I'm saving Tom Brady to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you know what? I had somebody ask me that yesterday on Twitter. And I said Brady's going to put up the best numbers this week. And, you know, just hold Breeze off because he's going to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay, there you go. A little spoiler alert coming up in a minute.
Yeah.
Jacksonville and Pittsburgh's the early game on Sunday. Jacksonville defeated Pittsburgh the last time they played. Who do you like?
This is where it just comes down to the quarterback. I just can't see Jacksonville winning any more games with Blake Bortles at quarterback, especially in Pittsburgh, who's going to miss Ryan Shazier and ultimately it'll cost them in the AFC Championship game. But I just can't see Blake Bortles winning on the road. This is a very good team with a very bad quarterback.
Yeah, it is. We saw Blake struggles last week. Both the Eagles, the Titans, the Jaguars, all three of them, they really come in this weekend with a nobody believes in us factor. Remember, Jacksonville already knows they can beat Pittsburgh. So I think this game's going to be close.
I don't know. It's just with Bortles there, the defense is going to be on the field for a lot of the game. There could be some turnovers because of Bortles. You know, hopefully Tony Romo doesn't make many more excuses for Blake Bortles.
Mike Florio has called that out on numerous occasions.
He was right.
All right, so you're taking Pittsburgh. Final
7-mile-an-hour wins, you can't throw a screen pass.
Final game of the weekend is the Saints and Minnesota, the main event, as I like to call it, in Minnesota. Minnesota wins. They continue their march in history to try to play a Super Bowl at home. Who you got, Minnesota, New Orleans?
I'm not backing off of this. I don't think Case Keenum can lead the Vikings to an NFC championship. This is going to be the best game of the weekend, but the Saints are a more complete team. I'm going with the Saints.
Once again, you're counting out Case Keenum, Scott.
Look, my brother, how you doing? It's it was a good regular season, but in the playoffs, I just don't think this guy can get it done.
I just think he has to be good. Unless he melts under the big stage, I think the one thing...
That's what I see happening.
That the Saints were able to take advantage of when the Panthers bottled up the run was that secondary of the Panthers was the weak spot of that defense. And when you got Harrison Smith, you got all roads closed and an all-around stacked defense. I think the Vikings pull it.
I think New Orleans got a very good defense. It's underrated.
Well, they do. I don't think it's underrated. I think it's properly rated, to be honest with you. You talked all year how good New Orleans defense is.
When people talk about in the playoffs, and I'm not saying by us, when people talk about the playoffs defense, they talk about Jacksonville and Minnesota, and I never hear New Orleans mentioned unless I listen to this show.
Well, so maybe you should listen to this show more.
I hear it on this show, but I don't hear it on other shows or mainstream media enough.
Oh, all right. Well,
yeah.
Fair enough. We're calling out the mainstream media now. This is what the Roto Experts is coming to. Scotty, have a fantastic weekend, and I'll be listening to Roto Experts tomorrow.
All right. Roto Experts, 9 to noon tomorrow. Me, Corey, and Mike Blewett.
Should be very, very fun. When we come back, my first of the baseball questions I have for Matt Modica. But it doesn't involve Tommy Pham. You have to come back and find out who it involves. We'll do it next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
All right, back here now, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt Modica, Greg Sussman, Corey Parson, and a couple of baseball facts I wanted to talk about with you today, Matt. A couple of things I noticed. We're going to tell you fam later on, but I wanted to get to Mike Zunino here because I was reading about Mike Zunino yesterday as I kind of, you know, again, toes in the water type thing, and was trying to figure out about Mike Zunino because... Listen, there's a lot of good stuff here about Mike Zunino. You know, like
there's some bad too.
Let me get to the good stuff. Come on, 25 home runs in 124 games. That's pretty good. OBP at 331, not horrific. 52 runs, 64 RBIs. Remember, he started the year in the minors again. But he got called up. He earned it. It's like, okay, the walk percentage at 9. You like that? So here's my problem. He strikes out 37% of the time. That's an issue. His BABIP, which in his career is 273, last year was 355. These are my major issues with Mike Zunino.
I think you brought up the two most pressing issues, and the way you did it was perfect. You looked at the career BABIP of 273 versus last season where it was 355.
Yeah.
And that 355 BABIP is amazing, but when you put a 355 BABIP versus his career, and you see every season he's been in the big leagues, his K percentage has been about 35%, give or take a percentage or two. On the flip side, we go back to the good here. He hits a ton of fly balls. I mean, it's like north of 45%. The hard hit rate is just under 40%. So in that aspect, he's going to give you the power, but it's going to be power more of, say, your expectations have to be 220 to 230. Right. I don't think he's a 250 hitter. You know, this is a former number 3 overall pick. So if you're in a two-catcher league and you pay up for a catcher and he's your second catcher, I'm cool with that. If you want to just punt average on catchers later on, he's a guy that, he'll probably be on a couple of my teams. I don't know if that's a good thing, though. But if I can get the power, because you're going to need to fill in power. As there's much power out there, means you need to acquire even more of it.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. And I think Mike Zunino, I always want power from the catcher position, but I also don't want to be hurt by the catcher position. That's kind of my main two things. And I realize that some of that's hypocritical, essentially. Like, if I'm going to get power, I'm going to be hurt in other areas. I was always a guy that, like, drafted, like, William Rosario back a couple of years ago, because power was there. But the average is just so detrimental here, or the OBP is so detrimental. And you play in a points league, you play in a categories league that counts strikeouts, hitter strikeouts, you can't draft them.
That's a very good point. Like, I know Florio and Stanford do the points leagues. I'm kind of a roto guy now. I just pretty much stick to that. But that's what you have to consider. You have to know your format. I mean, that is so simple and so basic, but so true. And a guy like this is going to crush you. In that kind of a format, I will try and get at least one catcher. But it's all about how do you start your team up. If you build with the foundation, you build the batting average in, you can take some hits
right
in certain areas.
Yes, of course. A lot of that, a lot of that is based on how you build your team. There's no doubt about it. There's a million ways to build a team. But I think there's certain things that are just really, really tough to come back from.
Yeah, well, you're going to get to a point if you're waiting on catches where it's the Austin Hedges and maybe like Chris Iannetta this year in Colorado. He should get plenty of playing time because of his defense. And he hit something like the high teens last year, 17, 18 homers with Arizona, you know, like in his mid-30s. But he'll be playing in a hitter's ballpark. So that's a big plus for him there. I mean, Robinson Chirinos is a guy that I'm always going to lean towards. I even rostered him last year before he had the full playing time.
Right.
And it worked out.
Yeah. I was somebody that actually rostered Martin Maldonado for the entire season.
Maldonado's going to get a lot of playing time. And what the Angels are doing, just to bring up this point, is with Maldonado and the one-year signing of Rene Rivera, a.k.a. the Rifleman, that is a major plus-plus for that pitching staff.
Yeah, absolutely. A major plus-plus. We'll see if Maldonado does get the full playing time once again in 2018. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll hit some NFL headlines. We have more baseball coming your way as well. We'll continue going over our Roto Experts draft, too. We got a lot more fun stuff all over the next 2 hours of Roto Experts. Stick around. We'll be right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.